Hallelujah. Praise God. Would you please stand and place your hand over your, face the flag, and then put your hand over your heart? I'm glad to live in this nation.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Would you repeat after me? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with life, liberty, justice for all. Yes. Hallelujah. You may be seated. This particular video from Dutch Sheets, which I appreciate a lot, everything that he does as far as concerning America, this is probably not going to be the one that's closest to the Independence Day because he has a couple of more days. But I thought this one was really good, and it has something to do with our Constitution. And I thought we'd play it and just make some comments, just in reverence to the 4th of July, which is, you can say the date, but really it's Independence Day. And so we're going to watch that right now, and then I'll be back in just 15 minutes or less. Thank you.
Hello, thanks for joining me today for Give Him 15. The title of today's post is Prayer and America's Constitution. Many Americans are unaware of God's intervention in saving our republic through Roger Sherman and Benjamin Franklin. I'm going to venture a guess that most of you know little, if anything, about Founding Father Roger Sherman. His contribution to America's beginning was extremely important. Sherman was distinguished as the only Founding Father to sign all four of America's major founding documents, the Articles of Association, the Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation, and the Constitution of the United States. What an honor. Sherman was a shoe cobbler, surveyor, and a merchant prior to his political career. He was a self-taught lawyer, a state senator, a superior court judge, and a judge in Connecticut for 14 years. Later, he was a member of the Continental Congress and helped draft the Declaration of Independence. He was also a member of the Constitutional Convention, where he made 138 speeches. He then became a U.S. representative from 1789 to 91, and at the age of 70, was elected a U.S. senator, serving from 1791 to 93. Many Americans, like me for the first 45 years of my life, did not know much about the Constitutional Convention and other founding events. Here's a very brief overview of significant events leading up to and including the Constitutional Convention. In 1776, the 13 American colonies declared their independence from Britain. Declaration of Independence, which we will celebrate this week. Then the Revolutionary War took place from 1776 to 1783. During this time, 13 United States functioned under the Articles of Confederation. The Constitution had not yet been written. And we had no president. Washington, our first president, wasn't elected until 1789. Most people don't know that. The central government had limited power and income, which generally speaking is appropriate, and therefore could not effectively support an army and provide for other needs. James Madison and George Washington were among those who feared the young country was on the brink of collapse. So in 1787, in an attempt to remedy this, 1787, Declaration 1776, then the war, now we're into 1787, in an attempt to remedy this, a federal convention of states was planned in Philadelphia. This was 11 years after the Declaration of Independence had been written. This wasn't called the Constitutional Convention yet. It's called the Federal Convention of States. The delegates assumed they were meeting only to make improvements to the Articles of Confederation. While there, however, most of the delegates decided that a completely new system of government was needed, not just a revision of the old. The convention lasted from May 24th to September 17th and was very contentious. For a while, it seemed they would fail in their efforts. On Thursday, June 28, 1787, the delegates were embroiled in a bitter debate over how each state was to be represented in the new government. The hostile feelings created by the smaller states being pitted against the larger states were so bitter that some of the delegates actually left the convention. Benjamin Franklin, being the president or governor, it's called president in those days, but governor of Pennsylvania, was hosting the rest of the 55 delegates attending the convention. Being the senior member of the convention at 81 years of age, he commanded the respect of all present. And, as recorded by James Madison's detailed records, he rose to speak in this moment of crisis. I've given you all of it here in the post. I'm going to read portions of it. Franklin said, "The small progress we have made after 4 or 5 weeks is proof of the imperfection of the human understanding. We indeed seem to feel our own want of or lack of political wisdom, groping," he said, "as it were, in the dark to find political truth, and scarcely able to distinguish it when presented to us. How has it happened, sir, that we have not hitherto once thought of humbly appealing to the Father of Lights to illuminate our understanding?" He's saying, why haven't we prayed about this and asked for God's help? He continued, "In the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, the War of Independence, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayer in this room for divine protection." How about that? "Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of a superintending providence in our favor. To that kind providence, we owe this happy opportunity. And have we now forgotten that powerful friend? Or do we imagine we no longer need his assistance? I have lived a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid?" Franklin continues, "We have been assured, sirs, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this," he said, "and I also believe that without this concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. We shall be divided by our partial local interests, and we ourselves shall become a reproach and byword down to future ages. I therefore move," he said, "that henceforth, from now on, prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessing on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business. that one or more of the clergy of this city be requested to officiate that service. Closed quote. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Roger Sherman, we mentioned earlier, was the person who seconded Franklin's motion that they begin opening each daily session with prayer. This was approved, and the practice has continued since, although poorly attended and supported. Can you imagine the breakthroughs and recoveries that would occur in our nation if today's Congress took Franklin and Sherman's advice seriously? It would produce results now, just as it did then. Shortly after this request and prayers starting being made, Sherman made the suggestion that state representation in the Senate be equal, two for each state, and that state representation in the House be based on population. This historic proposal, which came to be called the Connecticut Compromise, was adopted, and the system has been in use since. Sherman was also on the committee which decided the wording of the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Sherman once described the necessity of, quote, admiring and thankfully acknowledging the riches of redeeming love and earnestly imploring that divine assistance which may enable us to live no more to ourselves, but to him who loved us and gave himself to die for us. Close quote. Why? Why is such a giant of a man so little covered by the textbooks of today? To think that the only man to sign all four of our major founding documents, establish prayer in Congress, develop the compromise for just representation between House and Senate, is unknown to most Americans. It baffles the mind. Today, we honor him, along with Franklin and our other founding fathers. But while doing so, we honor the one who gave them wisdom and understanding to accomplish the establishing of America. Let's pray. Father, it is an indescribable privilege be part of a nation created by you to propagate the gospel of your kingdom. You birthed America, and you have prospered and blessed us beyond measure. Our founders knew you were involved in our formation. They knew and honored you as the only king. They worshiped you, honored your word, believed in your son, Jesus Christ. And they led with servant hearts and unselfish motivations. Over the many decades since, America drifted far from you. We have dishonored, disrespected you, your son, and your holy word. Many of our leaders have become educated fools, leading America down a path of rebellion, wickedness. Like the prodigal in Scripture, we squandered our inheritance, wasted it on sin and selfish desires. But also, like the prodigal, we believe in your mercy. We believe in the power of the blood of Jesus. We believe it cleanses us from all sin and unrighteousness. All of it. We believe in restoration. We believe that you are restoring America. You are restoring America to you. to our calling. We place our faith in Christ's blood and boldly declare America shall be and is being saved. And we pray, decree this in Jesus' name. And our formal decree today is we decree that America is returning to the ancient path of honoring God and walking in his ways. Amen. Well, as we approach the 4th of July, Independence Day, it's good to look back, think about founding and how God created this nation. Thanks for joining me today. Pray for America. It's working. We are being restored. I'll see you tomorrow.
Hallelujah. I just thought you would enjoy some facts, some God-given facts going into this holiday. God is preparing, as we've said so many times before, this nation for an incredible outpouring. And to know where we, how we were founded, I don't know why I still don't know why some people that live here don't love America, and why they hate America. I don't understand it. I'm talking about its citizens. I don't understand it. I've been in the continent of Africa, Asia, Europe, Central America. I've ministered in all those places. There's no nation like this nation. There's no nation like this nation. And those 56 men that signed the Declaration of Independence, by a vast majority, those were born again men that trusted in Jesus Christ. And that's why the Constitution later drafted, the 56 men that signed the Declaration of Independence, some of those, not all of them, signed also the Constitution. And, of course, you heard him talk about the man that signed all four drafts, which was incredible. But I praise God for the miracle last November. It was a miracle, an absolute. Can you imagine where we would be if the other party had won? I just can't imagine. I don't want to. And it's not up to Donald Trump to lead us into revival, but he is paving the way in the natural. He's a bulldozer in the natural to give the church an opportunity to spread her wings and have her best day ever. And we have to take this opportunity. We have to take this opportunity. Jesus said, if you cannot in a green tree, how then will you manage in destruction, in persecution? And this is our green tree. This is our green tree moment. How long it lasts, I do not know. I pray for decades. I pray God is with him. The debate is still out with some of whether he's totally, I'm looking at fruit and trying to discern. But I'll tell you what, He has an incredible respect for God, and even with sometimes a foul language. And so I do know that God has laid his hand on him, and in the last couple of weeks he's had some incredible victories, neutralizing what was going on, the threat for the time being. That war will always go on. And for the time being, the war between Israel and Iran and neutralizing the nuclear threat for the time being, winning a lot over in NATO, helped bring two African nations together, won a decisive victory in the Supreme Court concerning the problems that lower courts were giving him, the Supreme Court kind of pulling the plug, per se, on the power of these lower courts to disannul some of his executive decisions and give him back the rightful, you know, writ of authority to make some of these decisions, which is really great, and was great to see even his stand on taking transgenderism out of our colleges and those kinds of things, and he pulled the plug on that. And just yesterday, Pennsylvania University, Riley Gaines was that young, beautiful young lady that actually placed in that competition, but they gave it to Leah Thomas, which is not a Leah. I'm sorry, it's pitiful. When you see a 6'3" or 6'4" man standing there against a 5'8" young lady, and he's got an Adam's apple that big. Jesus, hallelujah. But so they reversed all that. They're taking all those titles, away, I guess. And the university is actually having to write a written apology to all those young ladies that participated and were beat out by boys or men. Hallelujah. So hallelujah. These are gains. These are true gains by our prayers. And I'm just saying, let's use them. This is our green tree. This is our time. Let's use them. Let's not, squander this window to continue to pray and believe God for everything that God has for us in the next decade. I believe revival, we're seeing the same things that we're seeing in the natural realm. There is a spiritual change taking place. Sunday, we preached on some of that. I'm just going to kind of transition a little bit here and talk a little bit, and we may not be here even for the next 30 minutes, but I want to share some things. I want to remind you about the message Sunday morning, because it bled into Sunday night, and it was the Sunday morning message was open heavens, angels, and revival atmosphere. And we did something Sunday night that was ordained by the Lord, and numerous people have told me, all to the glory of God, how it blessed them to see that, to experience in that. And as I'm saying that again, she may be watching, and I didn't even think about this until now. Closer to this service, I didn't. But Loretta Cole, she texted me a few weeks ago, and she said, "How about could you possibly think about? I guess pray about if the Lord would have you demonstrate some of those things." And so, what we're finding out for the time being that sometimes it really helps people to see a demonstration of things that you do privately, and not, obviously, we teach the Word of God. That's the foundation of everything that we do. But so we did that Sunday night and began to release prophetically. I said it prophetically. It wasn't like I was, well, per se, I was prophesying, because it was an anointing that came during that time. But prophetic prayers, meaning on the spot, on the moment, rhema words that I was hearing from the Lord, Holy Spirit. So it was prophetic, because I was listening and He was speaking and I was saying. So we were making those Sunday night declarations, and it was in conjunction with the service that we had on Sunday morning about angels and revival and open heaven. Sunday morning we talked about a little bit, and I'll just talk about this for just a few moments, and then we want to read a particular passage of scripture in the book of Proverbs, and then we'll probably go release you here in a little bit. But we talked about the John chapter 1, where Jesus met Nathanael, and we went into that whole dissertation about his meeting with him, so we won't go back into that. But the bottom line was this: He described to Nathaniel a work of angelic activity in his ministry that would assist him. I believe propagate. When I say propagate, I believe angels had a big to do with entering into cities. The more that I'm reading about angels, the more I'm praying about angels and studying angels, that they had a lot to do with his earthly ministry in every aspect, like going before him into cities, preparing an atmosphere so that he comes in and that everything is ready, escorting him is the word I used, and talking about how that they delivered him at different times, and how that we should depend on that kind of deliverance and ministry, and also how that we can begin to speak and deliberately commission angels. It was amazing to me. And I had known about this, but I didn't think about it when I began to prepare the message, that Gary had texted me a couple weeks ago, and he said, I got a message coming up on angels. And so I don't know how many of you are listening to his weekly teachings on believing Jesus, but it's really, really, really good. And this past week was just exceptional again. It was Believing Jesus, and Gary always chuckles at the beginning and says, Believing Jesus, what a title, because shouldn't we all be believing Jesus? And yes, we do, but boy, the level that we're going to go to based on where we're headed is another place. Well, part of his message title was Words and Angels, I believe. And so he did a message on angels, and it was just extremely good. And I just encourage all of you to listen to all of those messages. But this past week had a lot to do with angels. And so it was very powerful. And a couple of things that I just jotted down, and I'll say before we just in regards to those messages or that message, because it has something to do with Proverbs 8. And he was talking about how that our words, I covered angels as far as how they ministered in Jesus's ministry, how they'll minister in our ministry, how that we can send them forth. And a lot of that was some parallels, some good parallels. And he talked about how angels hearken to the voice of our, you know, of the Word of God. Actually, I wrote that down. You can read it if you get there soon enough. But it's Psalms chapter 103. I was always aware of this, but I'll just, this verse, these three verses here. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his what? Voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all his host. He's still talking about angels. You ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So he talks about how that it's not just having the word. He gives the example, you know, you saw him do it, and which was really good about you can have the Bible on your shelf, but angels don't respond to this in and of itself, the voice of the Word of God. And when we speak his word, and when we speak decrees that are attached and have a foundation to his word, then they hearken and they respond. They go forth. And so we're going to continue to do maybe some more Sunday nights where we're speaking, and I'll do some more teaching on angels as the Lord directs me. And I think it's very, very important. Before we read this particular proverb, one of the things that Gary did say that I want to bring up that I thought was excellent, which the Lord shared with him, and he read from a document that was way back in the past, is that the Lord said something to the extent, see if I can remember this, is that when God begins to, we expect and pray that God will turn up the power in our life. That's a desire. God wants to turn up the power in our life. Well, if you followed any of these messages he's been speaking, That's where we're going, believing Jesus is God being able to turn up the power to full measure so that the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and on and on and on. But one of the things that he said is that God said, I can't just turn up the power in the positive. In other words, what's the positive? And that might not be a direct quote. I just kind of wrote that down before I came out here. And for us, the positive is, positive Sunday night confessions. The blind see, the lame walk. We can have what we say. When we get into personal things, and that might be things that you do personally at home, concerning your physical body, concerning your finances, we believe that if we speak those things, and the message that he was bringing forth, and it was just so correlated with the message I was bringing forth on Sunday, is how that angels get involved with our confessions. What's the mechanics? Well, one of the mechanics is that how does confessions work? We say these things, they're the Word of God, Holy Spirit is in the Word, it comes from God. And so we kind of think oftentimes in a very vague sense of the word, like, God's going to take care of it. Somehow he's going to, we're confessing for, I didn't have anything particularly prepared. Let's just say finances. We're confessing for finances, an increase in finances. So sometimes we'll make those confessions, and I hope you have confessions over your finances. I don't care how wealthy you are. If you have plenty, then I'm hoping you have some confessions that God's directing you to know how to release those things and the authority to release those things and how that should be done. But a lot of times we think, okay, God, you're just going to cause this to happen, and he will cause it to happen. But one of the mechanics that he uses is angels. He really does use a lot of angelic hearkening to the voice of his word. And so these angels they're part of the mechanics of, let's say, as I said, one example, I'd say finances. They're going to, when you're speaking the word, they're going to hearken to that, and they're going to go out and do whatever they do. Some of it may be that that there's a destructive spirits that are trying to shut down prosperity. And there's a warfare against that sometimes. So we've got angels that will war against fallen angels. But then there is prosperity angels, which are, when I say prosperity angels, I can't give you a verse. I'm just saying angels that work in that realm with Holy Spirit to help bring about the mind of Christ for your life. So they would go out and begin to try to persuade or bring into effect open doors, help in numerous ways, which we can't even imagine right now, sometimes to create an atmosphere just to be around different things that will be in your favor. You need something to sell. You need this. You need that. You need that contract. You need this. Wisdom. You're making an investment. You need wisdom from God. Well, angels can, there's numerous different things, and we're gonna teach more and more on it, line on line as time goes by. But these angels are part of your prosperity. But in turning up the power through our confessions, it's so important that we understand that God doesn't just, God just turns up the power. And so what limits him from turning up the power is if we've got, let's say it like this, if we are thinking about, let's think about angels for a moment. If angels are in a ready mode, and they can move at the speed of light, of course, and if they're in the ready mode because you're speaking something and they're ready to, and go and do. But then over here, you're speaking something that you think may be comical. Maybe you think it's comical, or maybe you think because you've had a bad day, you get the right to stress out and say, you know, when things don't work out, I'll never have, you know, I'll probably die like this. I'll never have any, you know, I'll never have any real wealth. You got them going like this, and then you neutralize them over here. So basically, they're at a, they cannot move only in a positive sense. In the same way, not only for those seated here, but for those online, our words are our authority. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. If our words are our authority, we can't expect to sit on Sunday nights or whenever you're watching, or maybe you're not participating in these services, but you believe in confession. You cannot believe that you can speak into the atmosphere and get wonderful, positive things done and then turn right around and then say potty mouth things. Now, I'm not talking about cussing or dirty jokes as much as confessions that just are opposite of life and truth. I spoke Sunday. I threw a nugget out there, and I know I'm going to have to go back and address it, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it talks about the line, the how that in the family, if there's a dominating husband, it won't work, and if there's a dominating wife, it won't work, unless the chiropractic is an adjustment. He said that there, and I'm not going into it, but he basically said, make sure that's in effect because of the angels. Angels have so much to do with our life. So if that's not working, then angels are kind of like, we're not really sure what to do. God, you got to help us. God was so frustrated with the children of Israel one time in the Old Testament. It was before he was moving them in. He was so frustrated that he told Moses, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, I can't lie. I told you I was going to bring the children into the promised land, but I will do that, but I'm going to send my angel because I'm not going. He was like, I'm put out with these people. They have bellyached, back, you know, complained. And so I'm turning these guys, he's telling Moses, and it's all there, I'm just paraphrasing. He said, I'm turning the leadership, and I don't know how that happens. I don't know how God himself can commission an angel, but he himself, the essence of his reality or person can't really be there. But I do know how that there's inner sanctums of his presence, like holies of holies, and that's not angels. That's God, and yet angels carry the presence of God. And so he said, I'm not going. I'm going to send my angel. I bet the angel was like, oh, thanks a lot. Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah. God, Father, can I just, please take him back, you know. But then Moses, you know, another story. He interceded, and Moses, his heart was, if you're not going, I'm not going. So he stood as an intercessor and got God back in the deal. And the angel was like, phew, I'm glad, because if you couldn't handle, I know I can't handle them. But it's so important, the confessions, and none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect, but we're growing in a place where we're understanding how important it is for the words of our mouth. Let's look at Proverbs 8. You can follow along if you'd like. But unless you've got an Amplified Bible, because I took this right out of the Amplified, because I didn't think I'd have time to read both chapters. I might not even get through this entire chapter. But I thought it went real good with words of our mouth. And I'm tying it in especially with the distribution of angels. Proverbs chapter 8. Now here he talks about two particular women. One's a loose woman. The other one is referred to as in the gender of wisdom. But interesting, and we're not going to try to talk about all that tonight, but those are interesting meditations. But let's look at Proverbs 8, and you can follow along, as I said. If you have an amplified version on your smart device, you can, good for you. But this is the amplified and classic version. So verse 1 says, "Does not skillful and godly wisdom cry out, and understanding raise her voice, in contrast to the loose woman?" So the loose woman, again, is, let's just say, flesh for the most. He's not talking about here, you know, and I know that you're mature enough because I'm speaking to a mature crowd. He's not necessarily talking about, I could be. I mean, you could take the, you know, the far reachings of this, but he's not talking about a harlot on the street as much as he's talking about just the flesh. I'll read that verse again, having explained that. "Does not the skillful and godly, skillful and godly wisdom cry out, and understanding raise her voice in contrast to the loose woman? On the tops of the heights beside the way, where the paths meet, stands wisdom, skillful and godly." If any of you are wondering, why am I reading out of the Amplified? We love the King James Version, but I'm given an Amplified because it's kind of an extended, it's an amplification. It's of the Hebrew. It kind of gives more words of description, and I thought you'd enjoy that. "At the gates, at the entrance of the town, at the coming in, at the doors, she cries out. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is directed to the sons of men. O ye simple and thoughtless ones, understand prudence." Understand prudence. "You self-confident fools, be of an understanding heart." Now, I'm not asking anybody to get under condemnation tonight. As I said, we're all in this together in a growing process, and we're going to talk. He's going to say some things that I'm going to be able to relate to concerning words. But we need to judge ourselves as when he's talking, how deep does this go as far as into the saints? When he says, "Oh, you simple and thoughtless ones, understand prudence." Verse 6, "Hear, for I will speak excellent and princely things, and the opening of my lips shall be for right things. For my mouth shall utter truth." Everybody say, "That's the only thing I know is truth." That's a good confession. "That's the only thing I speak is truth." Yeah, thank you. "For my mouth shall utter truth, and wrongdoing is detestable and loathsome to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous." Boy, I hope that we come to a place where every one of us say, all the words of my mouth are righteous, upright, and in right standing with God. And listen to this, there is nothing contrary to truth or crooked in them. Oh, wow. I think I need to read that again. "All the words of my mouth," meaning wisdom in us, Holy Spirit, you could say, because he's the Spirit of wisdom. "All the words of my mouth are righteous, upright, and in right standing with God. There is nothing contrary to truth or crooked in them. They are plain to him who understands and opens his heart, and write to those who find knowledge and live by it. Receive my instruction in preference to striving for silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For skillful and godly wisdom is better than rubies or pearls and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Wisdom from God, make prudence my dwelling. And I find out, wisdom from God, make prudence my dwelling. And I find out knowledge and discretion. The reverent fear and worshipful awe of the Lord includes, this is what includes, the hatred of evil, semicolon. Okay, so now we're going to get, this is what it includes, pride, arrogance. Has he not said to us, humble yourself and humble yourself and humble yourself and humble yourself? So reverent fear, that's in worship of the law of the Lord, includes this: hatred of evil, pride, arrogance, the evil way, and perverted and twisted speech I hate. Now you can take that to the, you know, can take that to the far limits, like just really bad speech or naughty words or. But for us that are getting closer and closer and closer to whatever we say takes place, and knowing that angels are like, we want our angels in a continual posture of leaving planet, ascending, descending. Jesus said, Nathaniel, you're going to see angels everywhere I go. Everywhere I go, there's an atmosphere. They produce an atmosphere. They provide. I would just love to see how that they, you know, the disciples thought, we're breaking this bread and passing it out. And angels were like, you know, they were the big part of that whole mechanics that were taking place. Probably thousands of angels peppered in all those people. The whole ministry of Jesus had a continual, and angels were continually working with him because his speech was upright. And I'm not talking about, again, I'm not talking about Jesus wasn't a dirty talker or foul mouth or that. His speech was right with truth, continual truth. And wisdom says, I hate twisted speech or speech that doesn't go along with what we're declaring and how that we should be standing for the things that we stand for, not just corporately, but everything that you're standing for as an individual. As an individual, we're all learning and we're all going to a place and then we're all growing. So again, I'm not asking anybody to get under condemnation. That's not about that. But you don't stand for your body and then have a bad day and say, well, this is kind of, my family's always had this. You can't do that. You can't even do it some of the time. Well, we're just not. Listen, he goes on here to talk about riches and the true riches, and so, but he's not only talking. I only got 6 minutes. He's not only talking about. Don't just spiritualize all this. He talks about how wisdom will bring you into financial blessing. And that's not, if you just take the word of God because you think I'll never have financial blessing, I'll never be rich, so let's just spiritualize everything, then you're wrong. Your Proverbs is meant for not only the spiritual application, but the physical application. So if you're like going through something, which many of us have, and you say, you want angels working. But if you say, I don't think I'll ever have any more than what I've got right now. That's the speech that he's talking about here, that wisdom says that the fear of the Lord and worshipful awe of God hates evil, pride, arrogance, evil, the evil way, and perverted and twisted speech I hate. In other words, he doesn't hate the individual if you're a born-again believer, but you're turning aside a real strong place of God's unity with his word to employ his spirit and his angels. I've thought about this before, and I've used this in a certain sense on myself. You know, the Bible talks about that all of our words really are being recorded. By your words, you will be justified. By your words, you'll be condemned. And that doesn't mean you can't tell a joke. That doesn't mean you can't talk about football games, or you can't talk about, but it's really talking about those things that are contrary to truth and contrary to his promises. But especially when I'm going through something and I'm not sure what I've talked about, and things are happening and there's some chaos going on, and I'm not sure what I've maybe, if there's any question in my mind, what I've said concerning the issue or how I've spoken, then there's times where I just go before the Lord. And I'll tell you, I see this now, so I'm just going to do it. Sometimes I think that, just like Abraham built an altar and he was willing to sacrifice Isaac, and I'm not telling you how to do this, and I'm not telling you certainly not that this needs to physically be done, but I think sometimes, maybe for all of us in the past, and especially for those that are developing, that believers need to actually build, and again, not actually, but need to build an altar before the Lord, brick by brick, if necessary, in their hearts. And this doesn't take days, it takes the moment. And you lay on it and say, Lord, I'm laying on this altar all my confessions concerning this issue. I don't know what I have said up to this point concerning my finances that may be a block. It may be a memorial that angels are saying, I want to proceed, but there's so much junk built on their life or his life or her life. It could be numerous things that you need to build an altar and say, Lord, I'm asking you to kill, wipe out by the blood of Jesus. Forgive me, wash all words that are contrary to your promises. Glory be to God. And he'll do it. And then you go on. You don't live in that. But at the same time, if you the next day say something that you shouldn't, you just get under the blood and keep going. But build an altar if necessary. If there's anything like, man, I know I was growing, but boy, for years I've been speaking things against my body or against my finances. It's important. Let's finish this. We got 2 minutes. Verse 14. I have counsel and sound knowledge. I have understanding. I have might and power. I better just read these because I won't get through it. And you won't throw me out if I go 1 minute. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. Hello, kings. Hello, rulers, decreeing justice. By me, princes rule and nobles. That's us. Even all the judges and governors of the earth. That's us. We're ruling and reigning. How do we rule and reign? By our words. We decree, we speak, angels go forth, and we don't make them stumble. We don't put leashes on them, hook lines that as soon as they get ready to go off, then they hear us say something to a friend over there, and like, whoosh, we're pulling them back, and they're giving them a whiplash. Like, man, I was headed out the door. And then you said something crazy over here about, I'm always hurting. I'm always in financial difficulties. I'm always in this. All these things always happen to me. I don't know why these things happen to me. And angels go, I don't know. Any guys got an answer for this guy? I don't know. Any guys got it? So, I love those who love me, and those who seek me early and diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me. I hope everybody in here, I'm not saying everybody in here should be or will be a millionaire, but I hope all of you prosper incredibly. This is a green tree. I don't know what's going to happen in the 10 years. This is a green tree. I hope all of you come to great prosperity in these next few years. Riches and honor are with me. Enduring wealth and righteousness. Uprightness in every area and relation, and the right standing with God. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my increase than choice silver. I, wisdom, walk in the way of righteousness moral and spiritual rectitude in every area and relation, in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit true riches. And of course, we know what that is. We're about to inherit a great influx of true riches, which are men and women, boys and girls, that I may fill their treasures. The Lord formed and brought me wisdom forth at the beginning of his way. Might as well finish this. Before his acts of old, I, wisdom, was inaugurated and ordained from everlasting, from the beginning, before ever the earth existed. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains laden with water, before the mountains were settled and before the hills, I was brought forth, while as yet he had not made the land or the fields or the first of the dust of the earth. When he prepared the heavens, I, wisdom, was there. When he drew a circle upon the face of the deep and stretched out the firmament over it. Three more verses, three or four. When he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea its limits and his decrees that the water should not transgress across the boundaries set by it. Oh, we got a few more. His commandments, and when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I, wisdom, was beside him as a master and director of the work. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabitable earth, and delighting in the sons of men. Now therefore, listen unto me, O ye sons, for blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not refuse nor neglect it. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoever finds me, wisdom finds life and draws forth and obtains favor from the Lord. He who misses me or sins against me wrongs and injures himself. All who hate me love and court death. Amen. Well, let's all stand. Praise God. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful 4th Independence Day. We praise God for our nation. Thank God for the man that he has in there presently in office, and all of, I guess we're praying for that BBB that's to take place, Big Beautiful Bill. I don't know if that's going to help praying that comes to pass according to the mind and will of the Lord. If you have an offering tonight, just place it in an offering box, and we appreciate it so much. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word, for your angels, and for, Lord, how that they hearken to the voice of your word. We ask that the blessing of the Lord will be upon the barbecues, the hot dogs, the hamburgers, whatever, the pizza, whatever. But, Lord, that your presence will rest upon your people, and that you'll guide us in these days. And as we sit and think and talk and have fun and do things, Lord, that are what would normally be understood as just natural things, that you'll be in the midst of it. We bless you. We love you. We bless those family members that are watching, in Jesus' precious name. God bless you. Amen.